With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start. With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. So my guest today is named Lachi. She is a multifaceted artist celebrated for her prowess as a singer, songwriter, and producer, as well as for her advocacy in disability visibility and rights. Born with a visual impairment, Lachi has used her platform to challenge and redefine the narrative surrounding disability in the music industry. Her unique blend of electronic pop, soul, and dance music has earned her critical acclaim and a dedicated fan base worldwide. Beyond her musical achievements, Lachi is a prominent speaker and activist working tirelessly to promote inclusivity and accessibility in all aspects of life. Particularly fitting in July, which is Disability Pride Month, her inspiring journey and unwavering commitment to her craft and community make her a powerful and influential figure in both the arts and social advocacy realms, which is why I wanted her on my show. Please enjoy my conversation with Lachi. Hi, everyone. It's Rachel Yucatel from the Misunderstood podcast, and I wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor, Holistic Goddess. Holistic Goddess is a one-stop shop for all your holistic health needs. They offer a wide range of products from castor oil packs and collagen to natural bug spray. They do the hard work for us, checking ingredients and investigating where each product is made so you can focus on finding what works for you. Holistic Goddess brings on recognized brands weekly, often focusing on women-owned brands and North America, and they personally try all the products before adding them to the store. It's always exciting to see what new products they'll feature next. If you're looking for reliable health solutions that keep the unique needs of women in mind and cater to all ages and stages, definitely check out Holistic Goddess. And for 15% off, use code UNDERSTOOD. Go to www.holisticgoddess.com and again, use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off. Lachi, thank you so much for joining me today. It's such an honor to have you here. I'm so thrilled to see you jamming out to my intro music.
I was like, oh, she got it like going on up in here.
I know. I love that music. It makes me happy every time I hear it. So again, thank you for joining me and giving me some of your time. You made USA Today's 2024 Women of the Year list. These are leaders, entrepreneurs, activists, trailblazers, women who have made a difference every day. How does that feel to you?
I got to say, you know, I spent so much time in the trenches just working, community building, creating, and it does feel good to be recognized for my work. I'm not going to lie. I know you got to be humble. Sometimes you got to sit down, but sometimes you got to really take it in and live in the joy and live in the moment. And I am soaking it in, girl.
So I saw that you were at the White House with Biden. Is that part of that?
Well, so what my whole thing is to really amplify disability culture and inclusion through music, through fashion, through storytelling. And because of that, I find myself in really cool, fun rooms, everything from the UN to the BBC to the White House. In fact, the first time I had interacted with the White House was in 2021 when they were asking about this new initiative they were having called like Blindness. I think it was Blindness Equality Day. Mm-hmm. And I was telling them it needs to be Blindness Equity Day. Like I walked in with an argument. But it has been quite a thrill to be able to like speak to and show off, you know, the goods of disability to world leaders.
Okay. So people that don't know you, can we go back a little? Can we start from the beginning?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about where you were born. Where were you born?
So I was born here. By here, I mean Maryland. My parents are West African. So they immigrated to America for a better education, had a ton of kids because they were Catholic. And then all of those kids moved around throughout the 50 states.
So you're of six or seven?
I am the sixth of seven.
Oh, wow.
So there was just a ton of us. And all of my sisters and my brothers, they're like doing medicine and nursing and health professionals. And I was like, no, I'm going to just do music because it makes me smile and it makes me happy.
Right,
so
of course.
I'm the black sheep of the family.
Yeah. So now you were born legally blind. Am I correct in saying that?
I was born legally blind. I had much better vision than I do now. And it wasn't till, and you know, I moved up and down the Eastern Seaboard, and just a teeny bit of background about myself. I didn't have a lot of friends, you know, being legally blind. I wasn't blind enough to be like one of the blind kids, but I didn't have enough vision to just be one of the typical kids, right?
Wow.
And so I took to playing the piano, writing poetry, and really getting super introspective. And that kind of led to me doing this now. Yeah. In 2016 or 2017, I got a diagnosis that was like, I know you only have a little bit of vision, but we're going to take the whole thing away. And I was thinking to myself, all right, I can either sit here and feel sorry, or I can just go do all of the things I ever wanted to do before I lose my sight.
Right.
So I went skydiving. I did all sorts of things. And then I was like, why stop?
Yeah. No, I get it. Wait, go back for a second. So for people that really don't understand blindness and this type of disability, explain what legally blind is. Because for someone like me, I would think that meant that you could not see anything when you were born.
So legally blind is, it's like a legal construct. So I don't love to use the term, but really technically what it means is that I see 200 or worse over 20, right? So like,
okay,
you know, what people want to see is 20/20, right?
Uh-huh.
So what somebody can see from 20 feet away, so what someone can see from 200 feet away, I have to be 20 feet.
Oh, I see.
In front of. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So as a child, were you were able to make out facial recognition, colors,
Well,
everything that we all see. So you at least have it in your brain when you do lose your full sight. Were you diagnosed with something in particular, or how did that come about?
You know, I have several different diagnoses. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, new ones came in and left. So I tend not to like focus on the diagnoses, or else I'll just be here talking Latin for like 10 minutes.
Okay, no problem.
But what I will say is that yes, when I was younger, I had much better vision. I could see faces. I could get around. I could like read signs. A lot of things I can't necessarily do right now. But because I have been so adaptable and so like used to situations, and because my vision loss was gradual, I haven't even really noticed. One day I was walking around and I hugged an old friend and I found that it was a tree. And I was like, bitch, girl, you need to go get that figured out. Oh, sorry. Can we not cuss? Sorry.
No, it's fine. Cuss all you want. So now explain what it's like. If you're explaining to someone who has vision, what is it that you see today? And has your diagnosis been that one day you will be completely blind?
So yes, right now I am on the road to completely losing vision. Okay. I've got to get super duper close to see things like words, but generally I now have to use tools, different tools, everything from screen readers to Zoom magnifiers. I listen to audiobooks now because I'm an avid reader. A lot of TV shows now have a thing called audio description, you know, so it's kind of like there's captioning, But there's also audio description, which is a voice that kind of explains what's happening visually on the screen. Right. So that has been super duper helpful. When I travel, when I tour for all of my performances and my keynote speeches, I travel with a sighted companion. We have our writers, so we make sure folks do certain things to make sure that I am accommodated. But again, I'm a small show, right? It's just me and then like a couple of folks from my team. So there's not much folks have to do to be able to accommodate me, but still we make sure and we ensure that there's bright lighting, that there is someone on hand to like let us know what to do and greet us, and that my sighted companion is seen as part of my accessibility.
Okay. So what would you describe are your like tools or techniques in terms of finding the most helpful way and maintaining your independence so that you're not depending on someone else?
Yeah. Well, one of the big things as a recording artist, I mean, you know, I have done work with Apple to Abba, the Black Eyed Peas. I've done work with Alicia Keys through She Is the Music. I mean, these are folks you can't like not do good work with, right?
Yeah, so right.
I had to make sure that I had a studio that was super duper accessible to me. So I created my own home studio that is super duper accessible. Obviously, I know where my own bathroom is and my own door and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But also I set it up with a ton of keyboard shortcuts. So I can run through an entire session, a very highly technical session, without ever having to use the mouse, right?
Wow.
So okay. I don't have to navigate the screen, et cetera. And it's in conjunction with different screen readers, et cetera, et cetera. That's been super useful. But then when I have to, because I can't just do everything from home. Yes. So when I go out, I use my cane.
Your very fancy cane.
My glam canes, my fly ass canes. They're very dope conversation starters. Sometimes I'll go out with my sighted companion, who's also my manager. So he's able to negotiate things on my behalf where if something is getting weird and sticky, he's able to stand up for me and we bounce out.
Right. So have you ever used a seeing eye dog?
I have not because I don't like animals. And I'm just going to say that. I'm going to own that. And I think that that's okay.
Why? Did something happen when you were younger with an animal?
I got chased by a dog when I was really young. I don't dislike animals. I just don't really like dogs. How about that? Okay. I was chased by a dog when I was really young and it was not a good experience. And right. I was like six. So, but whatever. Ever since then, I was like, dogs are very slobbery and I am already a child. I don't want to have to take care of another one. Right. Everyone's giving me shit for it. And I have decided that I am going to own that I'm just not a dog lover.
Well, no, I mean, I get that. Usually people who are not dog lovers are people that have had some sort of trauma in their past related to an animal. So, I mean, I get that. Not everybody, it's not that you're being mean. It's that you've had something that happened.
Right. I mean, and look, dogs are adorable and dogs are cute. And there are some guys that are adorable and are cute. And then they're also germs, right? So
that is very true. I can second that. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about your music already, but let back it up for a second. How did you, I know you said in childhood you started to get involved in it because you were kind of going within. Talk about what you love most about music, how you got into it, like all that kind of stuff.
You know, it's interesting. When I was in high school, because again, I was super quiet, super shy. And somebody said there was some sort of talent show. And I signed up for the talent show and then I crossed my name out because I was scared. And then someone else signed me back up. And so I did the talent show and it was the best feeling I ever had. I was singing my heart out with a really personal song I wrote to like, you know, hundreds of people or thousands or however many people were in my high school. And that was the first time I was like, you know what? This is it. This is me. This was my purpose. You ever have, I don't know what you believe or not, but it's like, sometimes you just kind of feel like God going like, you know what, this. Yeah. So I ended up, getting a day job because my parents were, you know, they have a Black disabled girl, right? They want to be like, hey, get a job. Let's get you sorted. You know what I mean? But I got a decent job working at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, but I didn't love it. Like, it wasn't me. I was sitting at a desk.
Doing what? What were you doing there?
So I was actually processing permits for the waterways of New York City.
Oh
so
God.
If somebody wanted to, I know it's like, it was actually pretty interesting. If people wanted to build a bulkhead or if they wanted to build a dock, I would help process or, you know, write up their permits, go out and do some compliance checks. I am seasick, so I would have to go on the boat sometimes and I would just be barfing throughout the day. So I just wasn't loving that job. Right. But what ended up happening, you know, one day I was just like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I need to go and live my life. I ended up getting signed to EMI, like an imprint under EMI, which was a label back then, back in like the early 2010s, teens.
Yeah.
And they found me at like a South by Southwest showcase that I kind of just made up myself. I was just like, I'm going to play a guitar at a bar and hopefully a label sees me.
Yeah.
And a label guy did. They signed me to a 1-year deal. I didn't love the way they were marketing me. They were marketing me as like blind artist. And I know I say that today, but I didn't like that they were claiming it for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I jumped out and I was like, I'm never going to talk about my disability, blindness. I want it to be all about the music.
Right.
I got signed.
You mean because you feel like it was like they were giving you a shot because you were blind, as opposed to you were being compared to all the other artists just because of how good or not good you were?
Yeah, in a sense, I believe they did see the talent, but yeah, they were just trying to figure out a way to market. And yeah, they went dipped a little into the exploitation route. So I ended up getting signed to another agency and I become a songwriter. So more in the background. I end up writing a ton of songs. We get some songs charted in the dance music space. I end up working with some bigger names. And then all of a sudden I have this confidence, like I'm being sought after. I have money, you know what I mean? And that ends up giving me the boost to say, you know what? I don't want any part of myself that I'm ashamed of. Like, mm-hmm, I'm proud to be a woman. I'm proud to be a New Yorker. I'm proud of my heritage. And I'm proud of my different disabilities, which includes being blind. And I'm also ADD. I also have OCD. And I don't see any of those as setbacks. In fact, my ADD brings me all of the random ass ideas I have. And then my OCD makes me carry them out.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me stand in front of these. And that was the beginning of sort of this disability culture advocacy that has since really blown up my career and eventually got me that title, USA Today year.
So wait a minute. Let's back up for 1 second, because you kind of go through this music thing of, oh, I'm working with all these big artists very flippantly, because that seems very hard. I just want to talk for 1 second about, first of all, did you teach yourself to play guitar, and what other instruments do you play?
So I play the piano. My little keyboard should be behind me right now. Mm-hmm, I play the guitar when my nails aren't done. And I sing, I songwrite, and I record. So I also produce as well.
Wow. Okay. So you do all these things, but how did you get yourself in front of the right people to get signed, to get to play with Alicia Keys or whoever, because, you know, or write songs? Because that is extremely hard for anyone.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a combination of a few things. I think number one, it is being 100% prepared, right? Mm-hmm. So I was, if anything were to happen, I want to like know how to sing really good, know how to play really good, and just be ready. Right. So that's number one. I think number two is to show up. So I would, like, I went to South by. So I always show up. I'm just there. I'm where everybody is all the time, as much as I can be. It's a little more difficult as a blind person, but I still show up, and showing up with the cane, everyone sees me there. Mm-hmm. I think thirdly, fortune favors the bold and authentic, you know. Mm-hmm. I am ready to take that leap and that jump when it's there and shows itself. So let's say, for instance, you walk up to somebody with some big cojones and go like, hey, yo, buddy, it's me. You ready? And they go, you know what? Sure. Show me what you got. And you've got to be ready to literally show them what you got. And I think that has consistently been what I have done. Like, okay, perfect example. A friend of mine that worked at BMI, who was always really like just a proponent of mine, her name is Katie Kilgallen. She was like, I would love to introduce you to a woman named Michelle, at the time, Artutsky. Now she's married. She has a different last name. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, who's that? And she was like, oh, well, she runs Alicia Keys's, one of her nonprofits called She Is the Music. And I was like, okay, I am in love with Alicia Keys, obviously my hair. And so I end up meeting with Michelle. Michelle falls in love. She says, let's do it. I would love to have you at an Alicia Keys writing camp with Alicia Keys.
Wow.
And I was like, what? And I think our conversation was great that I had with Michelle. I had my shit together. I had my music out. My music was good. And it was a good enough look that I could just walk into a meeting with her and she goes, all right, are you ready? Let's go. Mm. And then I get into the writing room with a bunch of other like ridiculous writers and Alicia Keys.
Right.
And, you know, of course, you're going to go through that moment of imposter syndrome. Right.
Right.
Where you're like, okay, who did I con to get here? Right. But I think the truth of the matter is, I think the cure to imposter syndrome is responsibility. Like, yeah. I was like, you know what? I am here. I'm going to take responsibility for the fact that I am here. I'm going to be present and I'm going to do my best because that's why I am here. I'm here for a reason.
Yeah.
And that is like, it's just constantly that boldness, that readiness, and that yes.
With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking. And yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start. With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.
I think all this advice is so powerful for people. I mean, you come across as someone where your disability has never gotten in the way of you being able to succeed. Has there been a time that you felt kind of down about it or that it was hindering you?
You know, I would say not my actual disability, so not my actual blindness, not my actual OCDs or neurodivergencies. Mm-hmm. I would say it was society, like the way people treated me because of it, not actually it itself. I tend to say it wasn't the condition, but people's conditioning that has been like the issue. You know what I mean? So, you know, I like to use a good example. Like one of my friends in a wheelchair, he had told me, and he's the one that opened my eyes on this. He was like, I'm not upset that my legs are broken. Mm-hmm. I'm upset at the way society treats me and talks down to me or infantilizes me because of it. But it itself is not actually the real issue here. If everyone treated me like an adult or like a dignified human being and offered me my autonomy, then there wouldn't really be a problem here. And so I think it's why I do have such confidence as well as having a disability, because I do have autonomy. I do have dignity, and I am sort of really able to get around and work. And I'm proud of all of the things that I've achieved.
Well, I love that you brought that up before. What do you think are the common misconceptions or stereotypes about, I mean, blindness in particular, that you would like to dispel for people listening to this?
Yeah. You know, on LinkedIn, I did some AMA. I was like, I'm blind, AMA, and that blew up. But I think there are several things that people think about blindness. Number one, first and foremost, 85% of blind people have some vision.
Mm.
So everyone, when they think blindness, they think everyone sees totally black. But only 15% of blind people are actually totally black. So most blind people can see. And I get a lot of flack for it because part of my whole sort of TikTok game is just kind of walking around with my canes. Mm-hmm. And then I'll get a lot of flack of people going like, well, you can see a little bit, can't you? And I'm like, yes, actually.
So, right, almost like you're faking being blind or something.
Yeah, they're like, how dare you? People will do anything for likes. And so I'm like, well, this is the true. This is my real. And I'm not going to hide behind it. Not every blind person is able to do music. A lot of folks think that because you're blind, maybe your ears work better. That's not necessarily true. What is true is that when you're blind, the information you receive is received in different ways. So perhaps you utilize your ears more, but that doesn't make you like better at hearing. It just makes you better at using your ears to pick things out. Wow, it doesn't make you good at music.
So well, yeah, interesting.
Well, it also doesn't make you so like not all blind people are like little like Ray Charles's in the making. You know what I mean? So. I think another big one is that most blind people do not use a cane or a dog. So I think 2% use a dog and like 8% use a cane. And so according to that logic, that means that most people who are blind or, you know, legally blind or whatever are just fucking, you know, just trying to figure it out. You know what I mean? And I think that's due to stigma.
Yeah.
And I think, I have like, so many blind people have jobs. Blind people have sex. Blind people enjoy movies and films. Actually, blind people have a higher rate of marriage without divorce, so non-divorce marriage, than the average person. Right. I think they're at 65%.
Well, you know what? That's interesting because it doesn't surprise me when you say that because so much of how people are attracted to one another now is based on physical. So if you kind of remove that... Right. And are based on how someone makes you feel, how you like their personality, what you're attracted to, and the chemistry, I can see how that can last longer, honestly. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, it takes out an entire layer of, you know, sophistication that just kind of mucks everything up.
Yeah, right. What are the most pressing issues do you think are facing the blind and visually impaired community today, or the disabled community today?
Yeah, well, listen, for the disability community, there is so much. You know, I personally am super duper proud in celebrating my disability. But not everyone is because of the social stigma. I want to say that like to the rooftops. And a lot of it is because of the way we're represented in media. Most folks that have a disability on tele or neurodivergence, right, or like chronic conditions or mental health conditions, all that stuff, are portrayed by people who don't have a disability, right? Mm-hmm. And so the writers and the directors, no one with actual authentic disabilities are in the room. Mm-hmm. And so they get the portrayals wrong in Hollywood, in Broadway, everywhere, right? And so this is a problem. There's a lot of Hollywood movies end with the person with a disability preferring to die than to continue, like to give up their life so that their caretaker can move on, or, you know, we're wanting a cure really quick. And like all they care about is a cure instead of living their life. For me, it's like, sure, if a cure comes, all right. But like, I'm not going to sit there and wait for it. You know what I mean? And it's okay to want a cure, but also want to live your life. So, you know, there's so much lack in representation. That's number one. But it's not just in Hollywood. It's also in the boardroom. It's also in the mailroom. There's underemployment. There's undereducation. And then there's a lot of health situations. And you would think for people who have disabilities and neurodivergences that health would be like the easiest thing for them to figure out. But it's actually the most difficult. A lot of times there was a New York Times article that just recently came out that not recently, but a few months ago, that was like, clinics and doctors, when they find out someone has a disability, will figure out how to get it so they don't come in, or will hang up, or will do whatever. There's a whole big expose on it. And so there is a lot of toughness. Again, it's not because of the disability, but it's because of social stigma. It's because of inaccessibility. And, you know, it's because we're so spread out as a diversity.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, everybody has some intersection with disability in the whole world, right? Mm-hmm. You either have one yourself, whether it's disability and all the things I mentioned, it can even be like freaking anxiety or chronic arthritis or dyslexia or, you know, a really, really mild case of diabetes or something. All of that falls under disability. So people don't even know they have a disability or they don't want to disclose. But maybe their mother has one or their child or a friend or a close colleague or coworker. Everyone interfaces with disability.
And so I think that's important that you said that, actually, because a lot of people just assume it's physical and they forget there is a lot of disability. It goes with anxiety, depression, you know, all those things that you can write down on a list. I'm just curious, you talked about this a little bit. What changes would you like to see in terms of accessibility, policy, public awareness for disability?
So I think for me, it's public awareness. There are some amazing advocates out there that advocate for policy. There are some really amazing people that advocate for accessibility. I want all of those things. But I believe that policy is the bed. I believe that accessibility, these are the bed. These are just human rights and stuff that we deserve. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be erased. We shouldn't be marginalized and oppressed. I think it's public awareness. That's where I want to start. And I do that through my organization, Ramped, through the fact that I'm a part of 1 million different boards in the music industry, from the Grammys to the Audio Engineering Society to the Songwriters of North America, and the list goes on, in order to advocate for music within disability within music and cultural spaces, so that we can start getting authentically told stories out there. I always encourage people to diversify their feed with actual creators with actual disabilities. There are a ton of amazing ones out there, myself included, but also amazing folks like Imani Barberin or like Amali Burke or so many others. I can't even list them right now. Mm-hmm. Tiffany Yu is another really great one. So there's so many creators, but there are also so many artists, DJs, and producers, which we uplift through Ramped as well. So for me, it's about awareness within music, but also I want to see better representation in Hollywood, because I don't know if you remember the show, what was it called? Was it Modern Family?
Okay.
And it was like about these two guys, like a gay couple that was raising a family.
Yeah, and of course I know.
It caused like a little bit of ruffles, but like at the end of the day, everyone was just like, oh, it's just two guys with two shitty daughters like I have, right? And so it made people start to like normalize a gay-led family. And so I want to start seeing sort of a normalization of folks with disabilities living their lives, going out, having romances, working, and going through their everyday life, maybe doing amazing things, but also doing mundane things.
It's interesting you bring up Modern Family, because I was trying to think of somebody with a disability that you see in, you know, everyday life that is portrayed, like, you know, the actress, now I'm going to forget her name, Marley Matlin.
Okay. And Marley Matlin is deaf.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. She's hearing impaired, but she's done a whole gamut of movies, right? You see her in the position of falling in love, or you see her as a parent, whatever it is. So that's, I think, how we came to understand more of hearing impaired, that they could talk, they could live real lives. But you're right. You don't see it in the whole gamut, everyone, and normalize it. Go back for 1 second and just describe a little bit more about Ramped is for people that kind of missed it, on what it means, what the acronym means, and what it actually does.
So the acronym, which I'm super duper proud of, stands for Recording Artists and Music Professionals with Disabilities. Mm-hmm. And what we are is a platform that equips the music and live entertainment industry with disability inclusive tools, programming, and we connect them to a directory of recording artists and music professionals with disabilities, neurodivergence, chronic conditions, mental health conditions, and the like, who operate and work within the music industry. We've done everything from partnering with the Recording Academy to make the Grammys more accessible and disability inclusive, to working with Netflix to put on different programming for composers and songwriters, to we have a few really cool events coming up. One is a party with Live Nation on July 26th, which is ADA Day. So it's the day we celebrate the Americans with Disabilities Act out in LA. And so we're really excited to announce and hand in hand that partnership when that comes, or well, at least that event when that comes. And we're also going to be doing an event with the Recording Academy at the end of the month as well to celebrate our arm in arm with their new disability and accessibility arm.
Amazing.
We also have this really robust and continuously growing roster or membership of folks with disabilities and neurodivergence within the music industry who've done amazing things. I mean, everyone's peer vetted, right? So everyone is a professional. Everyone has done work with top tier folks or is a top tier person themselves. And we've built this beautiful community of folks collaborating, folks giving each other gigs, us getting folks development resources, all types of resources, paid opportunities, and visibility in front of some of the top most agents and managers in the business here in America and throughout the globe.
I know you have some things coming up. Talk to me about the music you have for us to expect.
So I have a bunch of stuff coming up. Yeah. Mm. So, number one, I'm back in the studio working on an album called Mad Different. It's a celebration of all of the deepest parts of ourself that we're afraid to celebrate, or at least that society wants us to hide. And it's an unapologetic celebration of that. It is a collaboration between a bunch of really amazing artists, which I cannot reveal just yet because we're waiting for inks to dry. But we're really excited about the collaborations on that project. I am also working on a book called I Identify as Blind through Penguin Random House. And it really discusses this idea that disability can be part of our identity and that there are notions of disability and neurodivergent identity all around and throughout American history that are under-celebrated. And so that's what that book celebrates.
I love that. When is that going to be out?
That book, oh God. So I want it to be out fall of 2025.
Okay.
Assuming we get all of our ducks together, it should be out October 2025. I know that feels like a million light years away, but I mean, just yesterday it was 2020. So
yeah, exactly. I know.
Well, one last thing I wanted to share is in October, we are going to be releasing a PBS docuseries called Renegades. It is a digital docuseries celebrating the renegades, revolutionaries, and rebels with disabilities who have helped shape America. And the beauty about this entire project is it's a 6-episode project where each episode was put together by a different team of people with disabilities behind the camera, whether it was the director, whether it was the producer. And so that puts me as the host of the show in front of the camera, folks with disabilities behind the camera, and then the subject matter is uplifting disability culture. So it's such a beautiful celebration of disability front, back, and center. And so we're really excited that we were able to partner with PBS and really the good folks behind the scenes there to make it happen.
You are such a powerful woman, and I'm really impressed by you. There are so many people that, I don't want to call it a disability, but are stuck in their own head, really, in their own lives. And it could be a disability. It could be a thing that happened. And you're an example of just show up. Don't let things get you down. Every day is a new day. Figure out how to maneuver around it and keep going and find your purpose. And I love that because it speaks to anyone. And quite frankly, you don't have to have a disability to find that to be a universal lesson. So I love you for that. I think it's terrific. Where could people find you if they want to look up more about you?
You can definitely find me at Lachi Music, LACHIMUSIC, whether that's .com, whether that's on Instagram, whether that's YouTube, TikTok, all of the places. However, if you are a recording artist or a music professional with a disability or a neurodivergence, or you want to get more involved in the music space as it pertains to disability, find us over at RAMPT. That is RAMPT.org, RAMPT.org. We are here with open arms and we want to speak with you.
I can't wait to watch the docuseries and to read the book. Mwah. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled M-I-S-S, understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.
With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at 4 things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking. And yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.